This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Human bodies emit a tiny amount of light. We glow most strongly in the afternoon. Jonathan de Burka Butler is almost blinding me in the studio here with the amount of light coming off. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, okay, it's time for news from around the world, of course. Right, in the Philippines, they're trying to impeach the vice president.
Yeah, they've opened the proceedings against her. This is Sara Duterte, who is the powerful daughter of former President Rodrigo Duterte, a good friend of this particular slot over the years. Rodrigo Duterte, as I said, was president a good few years ago now, and he became famous and made his name really in the city of Davao, where he was mayor, and that city was had really big problems with drugs and criminality, and he went in there and cleaned it up. Now, his methodology,
yes,
which he then brought to the presidency, has always been questioned, right? And there are something like 6,000 extrajudicial killings that he is either responsible for in part or in whole, right? Mm. But for the most part, people are kind of happy that they're living in a safer society, although there are question marks over this. And there are therefore question marks over his daughter, Sara Duterte, who ran on a ticket with another famous family of Ferdinand Marcos, okay, Jr., right? Ferdinand Jr. is known as Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos. And the two of them ran together for the presidency in 2022 and all appeared to be very well. He was the main candidate. Sara was running as his vice presidential candidate. And what happens in the Philippines is you get one term of 6 years and then you're done. All right. That's to kind of stop dictatorships that, you know, such as the former Marcos dictatorship that was there for what, the guts of 20 years, if not longer. Mm. And it looked to all intents and purposes that Sara Duterte was nailed on to be the next president in 2028. But they have fallen out, and they have fallen out quite viciously since they both came to power. And it has now come to the point where the House of Representatives, which is occupied mainly by supporters of Marcos, have voted to impeach the Vice President, Sara Duterte. So they held a vote there last week, and 215 out of 306 members of the House of Representatives voted to start the impeachment proceedings. Now, all you need there in the Philippines, and I double-checked this because it looked to me not to make sense, but was a one-third threshold before the procedure starts.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the Senate, where there's 24 members, and the Senate basically becomes the place where the trial happens. And if you're found guilty of whatever you've been accused of, then you are kicked out of office, and she would be the first vice president to be kicked out of office if it were to happen.
Okay, and what specific charges are they levelling against her?
So there's a few things. There is one which basically says that she has misused public funds. Okay, might be a little bit of family history there. We'll talk about you can talk about the shoes that her mother Imelda yes. used to have famously. There's also a threat that she made against the president Bongbong Marcos to have him assassinated. Now, she actually did that during a live stream on a public broadcast. So that didn't go down too well, as you can imagine. Although she has said that she has smoothed things over with Marcos since then. And he said himself back in November that that was only a storm in a teacup and people shouldn't really take it seriously. She's also in line for questions over these extrajudicial killings that happened when she took over as mayor of Davao when her father went up the chain and became president. So there's lots of questions around her. Now, at the moment, she's saying that she is not going to step down. She could step down and avoid all of this, but then that probably raises the questions: how exposed would she be criminally, I suppose? Yeah. Would a criminal investigation then be launched? So she's hanging on for the moment, and we have to wait to see what happens. The latest news on it is that there's midterms coming up in May, and the Senate just came out, I think this morning or it might have been yesterday, and basically made a statement saying that the impeachment proceedings wouldn't start until after those midterm elections, which many see as a kind of referendum on, are you with Marcos or are you with Duterte?
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see how it goes. But it's chaotic. It's absolute chaos. I mean, I could go on and on about all the disagreements that they've had since 2022.
Yeah.
And they are not getting on well at all.
If you're an ordinary voter in the Philippines, is there any other choice rather than Marcos or Duterte?
It's a good point. I have to say, I don't know what opposition is there to choose from. But judging from what I've read around this, there doesn't seem to be much of an alternative. But no doubt, if somebody comes up with an alternative and puts themselves forward, might be a good idea.
Well, who knows? Brazil is going to restrict the use of phones in schools. Nice common sense solution.
Yeah, well, look, this is just something that I thought we'd look at because it seems to be happening an awful lot in Europe. And now that it's moving to Brazil, I thought it was worth taking a look at. So Lula signed a bill in late January limiting smartphone access at schools, right? So phones are limited in classrooms and in halls, but they can still be used for educational purposes if the teacher deems it fit that they've used, okay, or for students who need phones for accessibility or health or whatever that might be, or for whatever reason. So it seems that most of Brazil's 26 states had already brought in some sort of rules within the schools, and about 60 or 65% of the schools in the country had already brought something in. But this, I suppose, backs them up and sort of says, okay, well, we're good with this step that you've taken, so you can bring this in. It's up to you how you want to police it. So if you want to go with, although there's no mentions of pouches.
Yes, there is
no mentions of pouches here. So you can decide whether you can keep them in, students can keep them in backpacks or put them in lockers or designated baskets or whatever it might be. So look, just thought it was actually a bit of good news people in Brazil are also trying to protect their children.
It's also interesting that the president can just sign a bill and then it's up to the schools then to kind of decide themselves how to execute the contents of the bill. Why couldn't we have done that?
I don't know. Is there some sort of legal
impediment to doing that?
What are we in the process of at the moment? So is it these pouches? Is it?
Well, they're still going to go ahead with the pouches, apparently. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Strange things, yeah. Is phone use particularly bad in Brazil?
Well, according to a couple of studies, there is. Yeah, there was a university study that was done in May of this year which said that Brazil had more smartphones than people, 258 million devices, as opposed to 203 million Brazilians in the world. And another research paper came out and said last year that Brazilians spend 9 hours and 13 minutes per day on screens, which seems an extraordinary amount of time.
That is.
I don't know if I believe that, but anyway, too much. But anyway, that was one piece of research. And that, if true, it would be one of the world's highest rates of use, as you can probably imagine.
Yeah, right. Australia we're going to go to now, and new regulations or new laws coming into effect. To do with, amongst other things, Nazi salutes.
Yes, it's bad news for Elon Musk.
Yes.
He won't be
able to... That wasn't a Nazi salute. That was a Roman something.
Oh, was it? Sorry, Sean.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
sorry. Sorry for misrepresenting him. Sorry about that. Okay. So anyway, so in Australia, they have made amendments. I should say they have made amendments to existing laws, right? So actually, this is part of... people will now be punished if they're found guilty of hate crimes, okay? But these are amendments to these laws that came in January of 2024. So back in January 2024, performing a Nazi salute or displaying a Nazi symbol such as a swastika was banned in January, as I said, of last year. And that carried up to 1 year in jail. But now if you're found guilty, you'll get a mandatory sentence, right? So that's what's changed here, really. And it's come off the back of several incidents that have happened in the last couple of months in Australia. So there was, about 2 weeks ago, authorities in Sydney found a caravan containing explosives and an anti-Semitic note, which appeared to be some sort of a threat. That was a week after a childcare centre near a Jewish synagogue and a school was set on fire. And then in December, a synagogue in Melbourne was set alight with worshippers actually inside. Now, thankfully, nobody was injured in any of these cases, but it does seem... And I remember reading a couple of months ago that cemeteries in various places like that were attacked as well. So there does seem to be an uptick in these actual anti-Semitism as opposed to fantastical anti-Semitism happening here in Australia. The Labour government have come in and they've said, okay, so we're bringing these mandatory sentences to toughen up the laws and, hopefully to dissuade people from doing this type of thing again.
And has anyone identified any specific reasons why there's such... because this is violent stuff now. Mm-hmm. This isn't just, graffiti. That why there's been such an uptick in this form of anti-Semitism. Is it to do with Gaza? But it could be... I know people might kind of jump to Gaza, but it might be other kind of ultra right wing forces at work as well.
Yeah, I can't say for sure.
Yeah,
to be honest, Sean, who's responsible for it or why there's a certain uptick in it, or is it that the coverage of it has gone up as well?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. Not everybody's happy about these mandatory sentences coming in. So even people within the Labour Party are saying, this is not something that we've ever done before. We don't like mandatory sentences. So, are we pandering to the opposition now who've been calling for this? And of course, the opposition are saying the government have dragged their heels here. It's too late, clearly, so on and so forth. So everybody's trying to score points politically. And whether it will have an effect or not remains to be seen. But as to who's responsible, I have to be honest with you, Sean, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Now, this law isn't just about Nazi salutes. It should be clarified. Yeah, 100%. It's about hate symbols.
Yes. And there is, it's just about hate crime in general and being involved in terrorist acts and financing terrorist acts. And, the mandatory sentences go up to 3 to 6 years for that. But I suppose there's a lot of talk about this stuff at the moment, so that's why I was focusing on that.
Yeah. Right, France, we're going to go to where Biarritz has been ordered to drop a racist name of a district. You might have to say it.
Yes, I will say it, no problem. I apologise in advance. It's the neighbourhood is known as La Négresse, and there's also a street there called Rue de la Négresse. Okay, and it translates basically as female Negro.
Yeah.
Okay, and as I said, I'd apologise for using the term, but just to translate it. It's been there since the mid-19th century or thereabouts. And back in 2020, an organisation that fights legacies of slavery and colonialism, a group called Memoirs et Partage, which means memories and sharing. I'm not sure what the reason for the name is, but that's what they're called. They asked the mayor of Biarritz to consider scrapping the names, okay? Because they said they had racist connotations, basically.
Yeah.
And he refused, or at least it went to the town hall and they refused. Let's not put all the blame on him. They then took that to court, and the court, a lower court, initially rejected the association's request, right? They acknowledged that the evolution of the term towards a pejorative connotation was there, but said that the names could not be seen as an attack on the principle of safeguarding human dignity. I'm quoting there.
Yeah.
They appealed that. And a court now, an appeals court, has found that whatever the supposed origin of the name, and there is a dispute over the origin of the name, the term La Négresse today evokes in a demeaning way the racial origin of an unidentified woman and is thus likely to undermine the dignity of the human person and may be perceived as being offensive to people of African origin. So they have told the town that they now must change the name.
Yeah.
So... I think the reason I saw this story first about 5 or 6 days ago, and I was waiting for a backlash. I was waiting to see what, Le Pen and maybe the anti-woke brigade, if we want to call them that, in France, and how they'd react. I haven't seen much of a reaction to this as yet. But watch this space and we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, it'd be hard to interpret La Nigris to mean anything else but what it obviously is.
So there is a dispute over where it comes from, right? So most people think that the word was probably, or that the name was given to the neighbourhood off the back of a black woman who worked at an inn in some capacity, we don't know what capacity, and became famous, and the area was named after her. But there are others who say that it's because of the darkness of the soil, and it's a reimagining, shall we say, of that word, and that's how the territory got its name as well. Now, it was called another name before the 1860, which translated as Dusty Neighbourhood. I don't know if that is part of the discourse as well. Whatever the situation, the court specifically said, whatever the supposed origin of the name, it needs to change because today it is offensive.
So yeah. They have to look at it. Okay. So Croatia, we're going to go to next, and actually several other Balkan states. They're boycotting supermarkets.
They are. It's an interesting one. This started in Croatia about two Fridays ago. This was part of a movement that was started by a group called Hello Inspector. They're a consumer rights group, right? And they went to their Facebook page and various different social media pages, and they told their followers that they needed to boycott a few supermarket chains, namely Eurospin, Lidl and DM. Now, I only recognise one of the names there, but apparently, or I think that they are all non-Croatian supermarket chains that operate within Croatia, but I'm open to correction on that. So they basically, their basic premise of the campaign is they're too expensive, their prices have gone up, and we need to boycott them, right? And a lot of people apparently listened, right? According to figures that were released by Croatian tax authorities, transactions in supermarket chains for that day dropped by 44%, right?
Whoa.
Which is quite significant. So galvanised by that, the Croatian group went again, okay, the following Friday, and now they're extending it for a week. And it seems that this has caught on in other Balkan states as well. So it's caught on in Bosnia and Herzegovina, Montenegro and Serbia. And what's really interesting about it is that there seems to be a little bit of political support behind it. On the day, I'm not sure if it was the first Friday or the second Friday, but on one of the Fridays that the Croatian group called for the boycott, the government rode in on the same day and said, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to put a cap on 40 products, right? A couple of cheeses, soap, coffee and that kind of thing. So it was a kind of tacit support for what they were doing. But more explicitly, the Prime Minister of Montenegro, a man by the name of Miloko Spajic, he basically came out and he says, as a citizen, I support such action. So he's basically telling people, go ahead.
Yeah.
And very interestingly, two supermarkets, native supermarkets, if you want to call them that, in Croatia announced that they were reducing prices on 1,000 products across the board there. So, you know, the government and some operators taking advantage of what this group are doing.
Is there a problem with inflation, though, in Croatia in general?
Yeah, massively so. So it reached an annual rate of 4.5% in December of last year. Mm. So that's 2 points or 2 and a bit points ahead of the Eurozone average. So, they're not
Great. So it is affecting everyone then. But I suppose that they're inferring from that somehow the foreign-owned chains are
putting their prices up more than others. Now, again, I have to say it's a great question because I don't know if they are or they aren't for sure.
Yeah.
But this is what these guys are suggesting.
And the supermarkets who are suffering from this, have they responded to this?
I haven't seen any response from those supermarkets as of yet.
Yeah. Okay, so what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, a couple of interesting things coming up. Tomorrow, Justin Trudeau and Ursula von der Leyen are meeting each other at an EU-Canada summit. I wonder what they'll be talking about.
Well, he'd be saying any jobs going, probably.
True enough. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. When is he finishing up, actually?
I don't know. It's dragging on for a while,
isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and then on Sunday, lots of things happening. There's a TV debate for the German Chancellor candidates. Elections coming up. It's in about a week or 10 days' time, I think, isn't it? Sunday, you've also got the BAFTAs. And then on Sunday, would you believe it's 1 year since the death of Alexei Navalny. Navalny was announced.
Yeah, crikey. Jonathan, thanks a million. Thanks, as ever, Jonathan DeBurkevalla there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.